Blog Talk Radio. With a criminal matter, has the right to have their case heard before a judge or judicial officer of the court, is entitled to a fair and public hearing by a competent, independent and impartial court, have strict court rules enforced such as the right of reply, rules of evidence, and be found innocent or guilty, beyond reasonable doubt. Yet, our most vulnerable can have their rights, assets, and decision-making rights removed by a public servant of the state, not a judge, in a tribunal setting that can ignore evidence and facts, and determine matters as they see fit, and conclude matters based on probabilities alone. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. We're broadcasting from Australia again tonight and trying to keep up with what's happening there. As bad as things are here in the U.S., they seem to be even worse in Australia, if that's possible. Many of the people who've been a guest on this show have had the police show up at their door, their houses raided, their personal belongings like phones and computers taken. They've been taken to jail. No charges are pressed, but they've been taken to jail basically as intimidation and terrorizing them to shut up and don't talk anymore. See, it's okay that we're doing this to the elderly people, and it's okay that we have tormented them like this and stolen everything they have. You just aren't supposed to talk about it. How dare you? Our guest tonight, our first guest, is Mr. D, and he's been on with us before. His father, who he was trying desperately to care for, that was in a Jewish-based nursing home, was being severely neglected and abused. He tried to bring this to the attention of management. Things only got worse. His father passed away, and as in all that has transpired, one of the most ridiculous things of this, in this is that Mr. D is facing charges for making supposed anti-Semitic remarks to a man who's Catholic. Now, if you can get that straight, if that makes sense to you, if that's logical to you, somebody, Mr. D himself is Jewish. I think he's entitled to say whatever he wants about that religion and the faith, but how does a Catholic man be somehow insulted or damaged by some remark that he himself decided was anti-Semitic? But this is where we cross swords in this area. You know, there's too many angles on this that they're pursuing. Right now, they're after Mr. D for defamation. He has compiled a massive amount of information documenting what he is charging took place. He has been absent from our shows, like I say, as a result of his father's death, and he had to sit Shiva. Mr. D, explain that to our audience who might not understand what that is.
Shiva is the first 7 days of mourning after a person passes away that's close to you, a parent, a brother, sister, or a child. After that, okay, you have your 30 days. So you sit Shiva where you mourn. People come and see you, wish you the condolences, wish you long life for that seven-day period. Then there's the first 30 days, which I just completed last Wednesday, which they call the Shloshim, okay, which is the 30, which okay, we had a 30-day memorial service for my father. And okay, then for the next 10 months, I say what they call Kaddish, the memorial prayer for my father every morning and every night. I say for him.
Bless your heart.
So that'll go on and for the next 11 months. And that's it really there. So that's all that goes on now. So it's been a hard 30 days. The last 10 days of my father's life could have been averted from passing away, which I'll go through. But basically, Marty, thank you very much for having me back on your show. It's been a very hard and emotional 2 months.
Yes.
With all the issues at Jewish Care, and the hardest challenge that was brought in front of me was losing my father. As you know, he was physically and emotionally abused at the hands of Jewish Care and was therefore the elder abuse pleasure, entertainment of CEO, COO, board and management, as well as a lot of other elders in their facilities. Well done to these people. Your children, parents and family must be proud of you. This has caused psychological and physical injuries on my father and many other elders. I will not go into mentioning all this violence that Jewish Care have instituted on my father, as if it was an offence being committed by the Nazis, as I have said in the past. As my father has passed away due to negligence at Jewish Care, there are many others who have in the past seen their senior management, the person that have gotten away with murders of crimes. Today is Purim. It's a Jewish festival to commemorate the defeat of Haman's plot to massacre the Jews as recorded in the Megillah, the Book of Esther. It took place in the ancient Persian Empire. As years went on, the Jews have been targeted, and as a community, we have fought to win. As I drove through the streets today of Melbourne, I saw children happily dressed up in costumes to celebrate Purim, and who gave us these peaceful foundations for us to play the elders? The elders who are being abused in this Jewish aged care facility. The reason I've brought up the Nazis in my conversation is because the CEO has described himself as a self-confessed Nazi in front of residents and families, and the board and management have allowed him to get away with this and have not sacked him. I've now been issued with a defamation notice. Why? Because I spoke the truth, and no one in the organization is really concerned with the problems. These senior management want to make sure they keep receiving their big fat paychecks, and I am a threat. One of the allegations made by Jewish Care was about people I associate with. Can I just tell you, it has nothing to do with them, but there was a gentleman on A Current Affair, which is a journalist program here on television in Melbourne, Australia, who was filmed selling drugs to children. This person, whilst at Gary Smorgon House, was allegedly cooking meth, and there were great concerns from the rabbi. Allegedly, this elder had unscrupulous visitors from various backgrounds coming to see him at all hours of the day and night, and shall we say, a lady of the night attending to him and leaving him in the early hours of the morning. This is a major security concern where Gary Smorgon House became a drug house. Visitors unknown to the community entered unchecked, and then an obnoxious smell came out of his room to the extent the hallway stunk. I think Jewish Care should have a good look at who they allow to enter at GSH. No security, not checked. But they have a go at me and ban me from my father for coming up with genuine concerns. Tuesday, the 7th of January this year, my father called me to tell me that he's not feeling well. No staff were attending to him, and he felt he was going to collapse. I called him up main phone number at GSH, Gary Smorgon House, 4 times, and no one answered the phone. Unfortunately, this is very common. So I immediately called Hatzalah, an emergency Jewish medical responders who arrived quicker than the nurse on site. The nurse at Gary Smorgon said there was nothing wrong with my father, but Hatzalah picked up an irregular heartbeat, or it's called a topic heartbeat on the Hatzalah report. So this professional nurse claims my father was okay. Why did my father stay in Cabrini Hospital until the 17th of January for 10 days in a heart ward? Thank goodness Hatzalah was able to respond swiftly and save my father on this occasion. Why did Jewish Care break confidentiality a call out solo when they had no connection to the call out and respond to me in a legal letter via their lawyers, Russell Kennedy. A senior member of Hatzolah who did not attend the call-out allegedly spoke with Jewish Care, but the comments written by Jewish Care lawyers are complete opposite to what is written on the incident report. That senior member of Hatzolah had broken the code of confidentiality. On Wednesday the 22nd of January, my father called me once again. No nurse was attending to him and he felt unwell, the same as the previous time. I called Gary's Morganhouse, was transferred to a nurse. She did not know who my father was and had no idea of the protocols in such an emergency and that I should call back later. So I called Hatzolah to attend to my father, informed reception at Gary's Morganhouse that Hatzolah was on the way. Unbeknown to me, Gary's Morganhouse informed Hatzolah it was a false alarm without my permission. When I found out an hour later, I called his doctor who attended and confirmed he was not well and extremely aggravated by the staff and not having me being able to attend the facility as I've been banned with evidence and for speaking out the truth for almost 6 months. The next day, Jewish Care sent an email to Hatzolah. They are not to enter any Jewish Care sites without facility manager's permission. My question is, how are the residents to get medical attention if Gary Smorgenhouse cannot monitor their health and the staff are of a substandard poor quality of education to address any medical emergencies? There is an allegation that a memo went out, if a medical emergency occurs at another facility of Jewish Care, Montefiore Homes, the nurse in charge and the maintenance man are to attend Hatzolah. Hatzolah is not to be called. Does the maintenance man attend with his screwdriver and hammer? Sunday the 25th of January this year, once again, no staff to be found. My father called me. He was in pain. While again, I called Gary Smorgenhouse on the phone, and again, no one answered. My father hung it up, called Mary, my sister, who called me to get to the facility urgently. While driving, I called a few times, and eventually a nurse answered. I informed her I was on my way to bring my father out, as I was not allowed to enter. Had I have entered, the police would have been called in to arrest me. I waited approximately 15 minutes they brought him out, and I took my father to Cabrini Hospital. It was from here on my father began to deteriorate. And had I have had him in hospital on Wednesday, the 22nd of January, my father would have had a chance of survival, as the pneumonia could have been treated 5 days earlier, and he did not survive to suffer this unnecessary pain and trauma. I now believe that Jewish Care contributed to my father's death due to lack of care. On arrival at the hospital, the nurse requested the medications, and after two attempts to get the medications from Gary Smorgenhouse, we finally got it with a big surprise. The medications that Cabrini prescribed and sent to Gary Smorgenhouse on my father's discharge on the 17th of January were still in the sealed bag returned on the 25th of January, and not one tablet from the four boxes prescribed medication was given to my father, and the bag was still sealed. There were 12 Webster packs with various dates of packaging, 1st of January, 8th of January, 15th of January, 22nd of January. So what we had here was a lucky dip to pick out the correct medication to be given to my father. On Sunday the 19th of January, my sister found the sealed bag in my father's room, gave it to Harry, a nurse at Gary Smorgenhouse, who was administering medications. Mary asked Harry, why were these medications in my father's bathroom? My sister was informed by Harry, who knew nothing about these medications, but would look into it. Well, we all know how far that went. Nothing was done or investigated by Harry. Hence, that is how the sealed bag was returned to Cabrini Hospital, and no medication given out at Gary Smorgenhouse to my father, where, in my opinion, there was negligence of care and the medical duty of care by Gary Smorgenhouse. This is probably another charge that they'll have on defamation for me now. To add more damage to this fiasco, the medicine chart sent to Cabrini Hospital was predated and signed, and according to the nurse, she feels if correct, all my father's was receiving a medication whilst in the care of Gary Smorgenhouse between hospital visits was Panadol and Seroquel. The medication chart that was given to Cabrini Hospital on 25th of January from Gary Smorgenhouse at approximately 12 noon was predated and signed for all events given that evening, the 26th, 27th and 28th of January, whilst my father was in hospital and not at Gary Smorgon House. The hospital nurse highlighted the drug chart in yellow, meds given to frame my father from Gary Smorgon House staff, whilst in Cabrini Hospital, not Gary Smorgon House, all predated. My father remained in a coma in hospital till the 4th of February, where at 2 p.m. he passed away from unnecessary suffering and elder abuse at the hands of Gary Smorgon House. I can confirm my father was dressed cleaner, received respect and dignity at the Cabrini Hospital, and all his needs were attended to in a most professional and dignified manner by the care, nurses and staff at Cabrini Hospital. More than I can say for Gary Smorgon House. There is not too much I can say, as it will not bring my father back. He has left my heart far too early. The Aged Care Commission has failed to address the issues at Gary Smorgon House, not only from me, but I am aware there are others who have complained. I have stated in the past, I am not interested in listening to Gary Smorgon House lies in defence for allegations I have raised, proven allegations. I have supplied evidence in the past that when I'm not listening to the twisting of the evidence by Gary Smorgon House Jewish Care. Jewish Care will always twist the story to make out they are the victim. But the real victims are the elderly who are not being respected and are being abused at Jewish Care daily. The only positive outlook of all this distress is that I was able to be next to my father the last 10 days of his life and not the previous 5 months. I received an email on the 5th of February from the Aged Care Quality, which stated, with regard to your concerns that the service has restricted your access to visit your father, this is also outside of our scope. Well, I disagree. As restricting a close family member for no reason and without evidence creates emotional elder abuse, and it only increased the anxiety of my father. This is an act of bullying by this Jewish Aged Care Facility, Victoria, as per Respect the Victoria Victoria Code. Another quote the Aged Care and Quality Commission wrote, I am very much aware that this complaint has been open for a considerable time and this falls outside of our expected service. I am of the belief that if the Commission had taken me more seriously, acted swifter, and shown more professionalism in their job, the psychological and physical injuries that my father Ephraim endured at the hands of Jewish Care Gary Smorgon House possibly could not have been inflicted on a daily basis, and possibly my father would have been alive today to tell another story. What you are telling me is the Commission has failed to close and attend to the complaints in a timely manner as required by law or in a limited time as per internal governance of the Commission or related bodies. This is an example of aged care facilities getting away with crimes over elders due to governments not policing these facilities. There was an article in Melbourne in the Herald Sun newspaper, 23rd of February, where it heads, Watchdog Failing on Aged Care Checks. Aged Care Watchdog failed to conduct random nursing home inspections. Official data shows that the Aged Care Quality and Safety Commission carried out last year 2,033 unannounced inspections between January and June 2019, but only 7 were conducted outside business hours, Monday to Friday, and 21 inspections were only done on the weekend. These are allegations of rape at numerous aged care homes, including Jewish Care. A son of an elder had accusations of this nature, and how did Bill, the CEO, and Hugh, the COO, handle this concern? The CEO and COO called the police, who came in and handcuffed the two family members, threw them around, breaking their hand and shoulders. They could not even defend themselves handcuffed. I know these two people. They are good religious community Jewish members who did not deserve this treatment, who are now unable to work. The CEO and COO need jail time now with the board. There is an allegation of a cover-up at Gary Smorgon House of a resident hanging out of her bed and no night staff came to check up throughout the night. This elder was found dead in the morning. This cover-up is well known to senior management, as it is alleged that Bill and Hugh orchestrated the cover-up. The allegations used end-of-life medication at Jewish Care by nurses Natasha Katz and Ella Turner are still going ahead uninvestigated. And Dr. Gray, who assists by forging documents and other illegal medical acts as instructed by Bill and Hugh. The nurses are known as the murderers of Monty and the angels of death. This was all on your previous show, all exposed by another person who came on your show. This Jewish care facility is creating issues upon our elders of psychological and physical injuries. Ella Turner, in return, is being rewarded by Jewish care with a trip to March of the Living to Auschwitz to probably further her education in torture to elders. This trip was to commence after Pesach, but it has been cancelled due to the coronavirus. Why is she going? She has no family connection with the Shoah. This trip should be sponsored for a person whose family had a connection with the Shoah, but is unable financially to attend. It should be someone who can further the education of the Shoah to the young, not a nurse that has the name of Angel of Death. Jewish care took 5 months of precious time a love away from my father and me, not being allowed to see him for allegations that have no merit and evidence, not being allowed to sit next to him in shul as I have the last 30 years. Loneliness is a powerful sickness. It causes depression, anxiety, personality changes, thoughts of suicide, amongst other sicknesses. It makes a person do things he or she would normally not do. That is what Jewish care did to my father. He was lonely, wanting to see me as he did daily, but the CEO took my father's life away. CEO, you murdered my father. He gave up his will for living by not being able to see him. He lost his family in the Shoah, and you made that loss of me come back to haunt his dad. In the Australian Jewish News on the 21st of February, 9th this year, there was an article about a Nazi flag being flown in the air in a regional town in New South Wales called Wagga Wagga. When the city of Wagga Wagga received multiple complaints in the evening about the swastika floating flag at Robertson Oval, it was removed the next morning due to safety concerns. They could not be removed during the night. It offended the community who are not Jewish and was described as an offensive flag. So my question to Jewish care is, why is Hugh, COO, still employed at Jewish care after he described himself as self-confessed Nazi in front of 180 or so people at a family meeting? 3 Holocaust survivors screamed out, "Er is a Jacke, he is a Nazi," and became teary emotional. Why can a country town of Wagga Wagga in New South Wales act so swiftly? The residents are not Jewish, and Jewish care can't act after 6 months. Not one of you stand up for your mission statement. The mission statement of Jewish care is there to be used as toilet paper, as is a blackmail document Jeff Appel gave me, a board member. What has religion got to do with me speaking out the truth about the lack of care of Jewish don't care on my father and the other residents who are being abused daily, and the management is getting away with all this without legal punishment and jail time? Let common sense prevail. I am not here to cause problems or close Jewish care down, but to try and resolve and correct the problems and abuse. It is too late for my father, but the future of our elders need to be given a quality of life and dignity. The CEO, COO, board are in denial and do not have a clue of the mess they have created, as their ears and eyes do not want to see or hear the problem to make any positive change. I have now been issued with a summons to appear in court on the 21st of April. All the legal letters and all the emails always finish off, I quote from Jewish care, "We are responsible for the care and safety of all our residents and staff." Well, the allegations that have been made with me have no evidence for banning me is not brought up in the court. But this case is being brought up against me by Bill Appleby, CEO, personally, who has not mentioned anything about the safety of residents and families. And from what I understand, the Jewish community are funding this personal vendetta he has. I've also been issued a defamation notice, again for speaking the truth, another court case. The legal cost funding is out of donated community funds, I've been told. This could be around $100,000. Bill Appleby, CEO, has not paid towards lawyers personally, and this court case that could be brought into a trial. The community needs to rally and make sure that Bill, CEO, repays Jewish Care now, and all future legal fees be borne by him personally, not the Jewish community. He wishes to place an AVO on me amongst other charges and allegations he has accused me of, being an anti-Semite, a person who I have protected are vulnerable in the community, and a person who I am standing up for the rights of our Jewish elders. I am not the one committing elder abuse. The community has left too much power in Bill's hands and the board is blinded. The senior management and the board need to be replaced, and Jewish Care needs to be placed in external administration until this mess is cleaned up. All donors need to stop donating now until the entire issues are resolved and everyone is accountable. Smorgan, Holtner, Cohen family, stop donating until this mess of Jewish Care is cleared up, as you are all doing to, all you are doing today is funding elder abuse unknowingly. Smorgan family, do you want your name to be placed on buildings that commit elder abuse and harm our elderly? The 2020 Jewish Care appeal has begun. The community should not donate $1 until this mess is cleared up. Volunteers should stop volunteering until they are given the respect of donating their time for free. Jewish Care are very good at making themselves look good on the media and cover up the major issues and abuses. They should stop spending money on ads and spend it on staff and food. Elder abuse is elder abuse in whatever shape or form it is committed. It should be reported and the abusers need to be brought to trial. In this case, Bill Appleby, Hugh Catamol and the entire Jewish Care board. These abuses have been allowed to go on far too long. A 65-year-old woman in Gary Smorgan House Care complained about not being given the correct meds, and she was correct. The meds did not belong to her. The same woman complained about undercooked food, cooked and raw food being served, and she was correct. How was it handled? Facility manager Angelica Oyen and nurse Mary McHugh with Hugh sent her to a psychological institution. You know, she was released 10 days later where she was imprisoned falsely. All the reports came back. There was nothing wrong with her. By the way, an employer, Denise Tobin, has been sacked over this stuff-up and for the abuse she inflicted upon this lady. This elder wants financial compensation, and she has been told by the COO to take Jewish Care to court. This elder is now in the process of hiring a lawyer. What a waste of community money. A couple in their late 60s had their mother-in-law Jewish Care. They were alleged she may have been raped as she had extensive bruising between her legs. How did Jewish Care handle this? They twisted the story, made the son and daughter-in-law the accusers of this offence, took the power of attorney away in a hanging court. This couple were reported to the police by Jewish Care, where the police arrested them, manhandled them, broke their arms and shoulder. They are now on disability and fighting Jewish Care and the police in court for justice. A medical professional has clients in Jewish Care is now potentially going to be banned from carrying out his private employment. Why? I will tell you. Whilst doing his private work, family...
We've lost hello? Our link there. Yes.
Hello?
Hello, this is Marty.
Hi,
we lost our link to
you?
Doug. Good. We've lost our link to Doug. Maybe he'll call back in. So, is this Mia?
Yes, it is. How are you, Marty? Good evening to you
and
your listeners.
Good evening to you.
And good evening morning, I should say, to Australians.
Yeah.
Well,
so, go ahead.
Well, as we're hearing, the never-ending abuses within our guardianship, here in Australia and in the US, it's going to be a never-ending discussion unless we seriously, get something done about it, really. And
yes.
That's going to sort of take a big effort amongst all those that have experienced the system, and
yeah.
to pass this information on to our fellow, you know, citizens and inform them what's going on. I've been meaning to ask you, in the United States, how long has the guardianship issue been a massive problem over there? I mean, Australia's been, as we can see, has been about 3 decades. But in the,
US. About the same here, Mia. It's about the same here.
Okay.
The last 20 years, it has really kicked into high gear. And the last 5 years, with the rise of these radio shows and all of these groups that are, I mean, they're global. They're all over, but there are, I can't tell you even how many there are here in the States. In every state, there are groups fighting this. And the harder we fight, the worse it gets. I'm in Minnesota, of course, and because of the pushback from people like me and many, many others, they came out with a whole flurry of bills here in the last 2 weeks. And they're all, you know, painted to sound like, oh, they're going to do this or that for the elderly. And you read through it, and all it is the codifying into law. It is the codifying into law of the things that these guardians and attorneys were doing anyway. One bill even says that they can move the guardianized individual to another state if they choose. Now, why would you do that?
God.
Why would you
do
that?
Well, we know why they do it. Let's be clear. We know why they're doing everything. That's we're aware of why they're doing it all. It's just now that we need to... We need to simplify it for, you know, the other people who are going to be the victims. Because there is no doubt that everywhere you'll go, you're hearing stories. I heard more stories yesterday. It seems to be touching everybody. It doesn't now. It's not just the elderly and the vulnerable. It's the young, you know, it's the in between.
Yeah.
It's the mothers, you know, young married couples. So we've got really big problems. But as with you, you're saying that each of your states do you have somebody that's in each state that actually discusses the guardianship issue in each state? So you have, in a sense, sort of mobilised, victims have come together, and yet that you haven't managed to break through, because you've got a lot of free speech over there, which obviously works, can help you, and sort of not silence you like we sort of have here. We have to be careful in how we discuss things.
We have Mia, let me say that whatever we had in the Constitution and our Bill of Rights, they have chiseled away at hard for the last 10 years. We have very little of those protections left, and we have all kinds of laws which say under these circumstances, you have no rights. This is, you know, it's an ongoing thing, and they are trying now the First Amendment to free speech, to be able to say what you think, whether people think it's politically correct or if it's what they want to hear or anything else. But your right to say what you think has been severely curtailed, and it's getting worse. And many of us fully anticipate that by the end of the year, we will have lost that right altogether. Go ahead.
No, I'll finish off. That's fine. We've got a bit of
what I was going to say was thereafter our constitutional rights, of course, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. The right to keep and bear arms was not so you could go deer hunting. The right to keep and bear arms was in case we suffered a tyrannical government, which is exactly what we've got. And it was your way to defend yourself from that tyranny. And the problem is, you know, I keep telling people, they don't care if you have a gun or you don't. And the reason they don't is they have got weapons that are so terrible now that your gun looks like a pea shooter. But it is the psychological effect of taking that right away from you and leaving you powerless and feeling powerless. It would shake this country to its knees. And this is what they're after. But we have militarized police. They gift them with all kinds of military equipment that is just absolutely terrifying. And, of course, we've got police here killing people in the street over a broken taillight. And that's not a fabrication or exaggeration. They are doing this. The police are killing more people every year than these supposed mass shooters. And they don't go to prison and they don't get charged, and the Supreme Court is backing them up. So you got all these things coming into play. And then, just like we have discussed with you all over there, you have this attack by our own government on
yes.
the elderly on the one end of the spectrum and on the children on the other end. They're selling
yes.
our children. They're buying and selling them, forcing them into foster care, big money there, forced adoptions, taking children with no evidence of wrongdoing, the same system that is in place for the elderly. Somebody
yes,
just has to say so. Somebody just has to say so.
Yes, exactly. You can't, because you can't be silent anymore. Well, the only reason, most of us were not aware until we entered the systems, whether it has been, obviously, I'm sure, the same in the child protective for the parents that have been abused and their children taken away from them. I've been following many stories over there as well in regards to that, and I actually watched the story of the trial of Gabriel Fernandez, I believe.
Yes.
I mean, that really was a very emotional story. And it
yes.
just shows that, as you said, the child, what they're doing within the child services and the elderly and vulnerable is exactly the same. They're just two different vulnerable people. And
yes.
We need to come together on these issues. As I said, you have many, yourself and other people that obviously come on board and you know, let parents speak, let families that have had their loved ones taken away speak. So we're sort of just getting started here in that and trying to do the same. But we're at a really terrible time. In particular with this story, it showed how the
yes.
departments were able to get away with not exposing. He was brutalized, this boy, by his parent and stepfather.
Yeah.
The evidence was clear. You could not argue it, and yet the social services turned a blind eye, each blaming. At the
yes.
end of it, none of them, they dismissed, in a sense, the charges. And so they go on. And so what they're doing, they're making excuses for the failures within the institution.
Mia, did
yes.
they dismiss? I thought they were proceeding ahead with charging them.
I understood. I thought that I heard that they started, but at the end of the story, unless I heard incorrectly, I heard that dismissed. Maybe I heard wrong. That they were dismissed, but it seemed to me that they were dismissed, that the workers in charge, and you had people pleading with each, you know, department, you know, this is happening, you know, this poor boy, what he was subjected to, and then there was another two. I urge, you know, Americans to watch that. It was just, it really broke my heart, but it's the child abuse within that industry, as well as what we're seeing in the elderly. And it was just showing
right.
how the institutions, I mean, you've got institutions. So you had the DA, I think there was a district attorney there, was fighting to get information from the departments, and they were refusing.
Yes.
How are you supposed
yes.
to present a case when they are denying you the right to information that makes your case? You know,
exactly.
If you're supposedly claiming to be honourable institutions, you should be handing that over for the DA or whoever is
uh-huh.
investigating these allegations. But instead, they fight
yes.
you. The departments are fighting. So what, in
yes.
a sense, has been created is the governments have created the institutions within who claim to have honesty, integrity, and have all these other institutions that follow up to make sure that everybody is honest and that there's integrity and et cetera. And yet there's none of that, because when the crunch comes that an institution has failed, what do? They run to cover it up. They fight in court. They go here to fight here to stop you getting anything. We're not crazy, okay? We are not crazy. But what they're actually doing is they're able to do these, and many people don't hear what what they're doing, how they're stopping information getting out. So people are not aware. They think our system, you know, running fine and we've got the checks and balances. But I think, Marty, what we need to actually do is we need to dispel the myth that these institutions, firstly, are acting honestly and with integrity. And then, and once we get that, because I think if we look back, really, we've had a look at it, throughout life we've been, I don't know when you call it, brainwashed or taught to believe that, you know, the institutions are to be trusted. We must trust our doctors, we must trust the judiciary, we must trust the police. You know, we've got, we've been set this, and we are the people that really, in a sense, are the lower class, we the people, but we can't question, you know, we can't question judges, we can't question this decision, because they are perceived, because whether it's through schooling or education or diplomas or whatever they've achieved in their life, they're deemed to be more honourable. So throughout life, you know, you don't, you wouldn't dare make an accusation against a police officer. You know, you just wouldn't dare, oh, well, you know, there's one rotten egg in the basket. You know, you just don't. And when you try to, then you're undermining a system. It's not that there's been any wrongdoing, but you're undermining it for questioning. And I think that's, we've got to dispel this myth that these supposed godlike people, you know, judiciary and everybody else, the police and all these institutions, governments and all them, cannot be questioned. We're seeing more and more that we should be concerned. And as you said, through legislation, everything is being eroded. You only have to look, as you said, through some of the legislation to see, you know, do they think we are stupid, that we are crazy? You only have to enter into some of these systems and then read their legislation to think. But people, you can't be aware of something unless you're exposed to it. And I think that's where they've been able to get away with it. Because everybody's too busy, you know, obviously with their life and families, etc., to know that unless something's brought out into a public forum, you don't know. You think you do things that put things in place, don't you? You wills, you do all these, you put your advanced care directives, I presume you have them there as well, all these things in place. So it's us, I think we need to put, as you said, legislation, talk legislation. Well, here's the legislation, but this is what's actually happening. And I believe, Marty, the only way to change this, the government is not going to admit their wrongdoing. No way on earth will they admit that their institutions are failures, because this will open up a can of, no doubt, litigation, right? So they're never going to do that. The only way, I believe, is to talk with people, inform people, educate people, and get them to fight along with us, whether it be, you might need new political, because a lot of the political parties are not touching on these topics. They all say, you know, in Australia, I think we have one that is has taken the time. There's a, you know, a couple of others that, you know, possibly, but the major parties are not going anywhere near this. Why?
No.
We shouldn't be accepting that. We've got overwhelming, well, evidence, victims that are all wanting to come out into a public forum to, you know, to expose. I mean, that's how you do it. You expose it and you say, okay, well, what are we going to do about it? What needs to go? What's, you know, what's the failure? The whole system's a failure, okay? The whole system. If we got, and I'm sure with you, a lot of these fabricated cases of abuses in both the elderly and with the children, have you noticed the ones that are being abused are being left in the environments, and then the ones that are not, that have got good loving homes, have been removed? I'm just like astounded of that. This is, as I said once again, but this would be boiling down to obviously who the persons are, you know, who are involved. There's some definitely corrupt systems and things going on that we need to draw attention. Australia, I think, needs to, as I said, we need to mobilise ourselves, which is what we're doing. You know, daily there's new stories coming out, new, you know, victims coming out with, and I think it's really through, if we can get this out in a way that people really understand of how it's mm-hmm. going to affect them. It's just going to be when. It will affect them.
Yes.
And that they're not going to, you know, when it does, you're going to say, well, where was I? Why didn't I, you know, I've got information and coming out. Why didn't I just, you know, take 5-10 minutes to listen? And then we can make a difference. We can only make a difference, you know, together if we stand strong together, because they'll continue to legislate. And as you said, Australia's and many of the states have got a Fixated Persons Act, which was supposedly supposed to be used in the terrorist situation. But then what
yeah,
they're doing
that
now,
is such
is they're
so
using
much
it
crap.
Does America has America gone down that track?
Well, what they do is they call us conspiracy theorists, fake news broadcasters, all of this, and, you know, like 9-1-1, which started the so-called war on terror.
Yeah.
And anytime, see, here in the States, anytime the government can invoke the word war associated with anything, like the war on terror, the war on poverty, the war on drugs, it makes available to the federal corporate government a whole set of laws that without the war condition would be off limits to them. So this is what they do. You know, going back to this system, these agencies and everything else, I keep hearing people say, oh, you know, we need new laws. No, we don't follow the laws we have. We don't need new laws. Well, you know, the system needs to be fixed. You have to understand this. The system is not broken. It is operating it exactly the way they intended it to. It is not broken. It is operating the way it was set up to operate. So the only way to remedy the situation is to dissolve the system and come up with something new that doesn't include these agencies, that makes them the very last resort, and you better go through the whole family in the neighborhood before you get to them. Because to make people understand that you can't fix what ain't broken. They set this up in both countries to operate just exactly the way it's operating. They get to target, kidnap, isolate, medicate, and rob these people and add to their premature deaths. And the family suddenly has no rights. In one of the bills that has come out up here, one of the things we have screamed loud and hard about is just exactly what you were talking about. These freestanding legal instruments, like estate planning, durable powers of attorney, medical powers of attorney, that people have put in place. Attorneys have sold these plans to them and said, this is the way you avoid guardianship and conservatorship. Except right in the law, which they've been doing anyway, this new law that came out, it says, unless otherwise ordered by a probate judge. And a probate judge, and they aren't judges, they're just hearing examiners, they don't have to know any law or have be educated in the law, because they are not dealing with law. They are dealing with arbitrarily constructed statutes. And
exactly.
But it's this new bill codifies into law, if it passes, the judge being able to discard all freestanding legal agreements and instruments because he just doesn't think they have any value, and handing that all over. It also allows them, of course, people say, well, I got everything in trust. Lots of luck with that, because they break into trusts every day of the week. This one bill says that they can break into trusts, they can stop transfer on death provisions in wills, they can discard the will, they can remove beneficiaries on insurance and estate, and they can replace it with beneficiaries of their choice, even if it's themselves. Imagine that. But they're setting the whole system. These are our legislators doing this, Mia. This is our own state government doing
exactly,
this.
Exactly, Marty, exactly. And we are fighting the same devil and the same evil. And the problem is, as I said, when legislation gets passed, when something happens and everyone calls for, you know, legislation, you need to do this, you need to do that for protection, okay? The problem is those that are deciding and drafting the legislation are the lawyers with governments. They do not make it. The facade may seem that it is to, for instance, if you're, you know, they're working out jail sentences for a murderer, okay? That seems, okay, yeah, they're doing, okay, a murderer gets X amount, you know, second degree, etc. But in these sorts of cases in regards to the guardianship, the youth, and all these topics. The people that are championing whatever, for instance, we talk euthanasia. It's wonderful. We can now die in without suffering, etc. Well, that's great, but if that's what you want. But what actually happens is that they don't take into consideration the consequences of a person that's a ward of the state, and that
right.
may be coerced because it benefits government. And this is the problem.
Right.
Nobody is looking at the ramifications. They're thinking, because
right.
why? Because we trust our governments. That government is working for us. No, they're not. From what I've seen, as I said, through legislation, I'm absolutely disgusted
yes.
of how they have managed to hoodwink us all under the guise that they're honourable, and that the things that they have put in place to safeguard our, you know, us, the vulnerable, is a hoax. It's fake.
Yes.
It's everything. It is absolutely ridiculous. What it actually does is it actually puts our vulnerable and families in a more dangerous position. They are so dangerous in the amount of power that they have been given. You know, I call it now the
yes.
Fraud Court. I can't even call it the tribunal. It's the tribunal, also known to me as the Fraud Court, because that's what it is. It's basically
yes.
the biggest fraud takes all, okay, and that's the government system. So and as I said, I don't come to, you know, my conclusions lightly. I went through mine, I've heard more, and I started to look at other things in the bigger picture, and I've realised, as you know, have continually said throughout, that this has been designed this way, and then they manage through their propaganda arm
yes.
to even push it further. And then they undermine the family, and then they turn,
yes.
you know, they use the rights card when people are trying to protect their loved ones who have got issues. You know, dementia is a very tricky, it's a horrid illness, because the person can
yes.
be perceived as, you know, as good, but on making certain rational decisions, they're not. And the government is putting them in harm's way. That's what they're actually doing. They're removing them from their closest support networks, which is generally their family, and,
right.
As you know, isolating them. So I'm really outraged, and I think as most of us are that have been battling this for many years and trying to, you know, since I got out, I couldn't walk away. I felt compelled that I
yeah.
needed to speak and help any other families, talk to other families, let them know this is what's going on. You know, how can we do? Well, we need to get, the simple thing is, we need to put it out there. But we also need to get new people in positions of power. This is the only way that we are going to affect get change in this area.
But
the only way, because...
Let me say something about getting new people in power. What happens is, even if their intentions are good initially, once they are in that, working in that capacity, the pressure from people who have been there a long time and have some sense of power about it will be either you go along with us, or you will cut you off from everything. We see this here all the time. We will get in the news and absolutely castigate you. We will render you absolutely unable to do anything. And so this
so
is what happens.
They sell their soul, basically, what you're saying. They sell their soul once they get in.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the problem. And we see this at the federal level and the state level. One of the things I brought up, I had a show last night out of California, and here we've got another case, just like the Bogalis case here in Minnesota, where they had to flee the country to get away from these predator guardians. And we have a young lady in California who fled California and went to her father in Mexico to escape. This it's called the regional center, and it basically is another word for guardian, what they were planning on doing to her. And we have another fella from out in Ohio who fled to Poland to get away from these predators. How bad does this damn have to get when you have to flee your home country and the U.S. of all places to get away from these predators? No, what the hell is wrong with this picture?
Yeah, no, this is this is a worldwide disgrace. You know, they like to champion this and that and humanity and goodness and whatever. You've got to be joking me. I mean, the amount of evidence, the amount of victims, you know, would have to be in the millions, okay? This is not understated, okay? Because everybody you talk to, if it's not him, it's the next person down that track. I mean, America's, you've got 300, I think 25, 27 over there. So, and this has been going on for decades. So the victims that have been impacted over the decades, the trauma, the abuse, the exploitation is beyond comprehension. There is nothing more. The problem is that this needs to stay in the spotlight continually. So when there's enough that are willing to say, because that's what it's going to take, when there is enough that's willing to say and really push back against the government, this is the only way the change is going to be affected, is that the government has truly got to be held to accountable. And it can be done, but it's a big task, but you have to engage everybody. You've got to engage the past victims, you know, everybody. You've got to educate. Because as soon as you tell them how this is going to affect them, you know, I've heard you say before, oh, no, this can't happen, whatever. And I've had the same in trying to, when I'm extending it to my our other family, you know, distant sort of family, and I'm telling them, you know, because I'm in a shopping mall and I'll, you know, and if I'm talking to somebody, I would say, you know, please be careful of this. I speak to anybody and everybody, and they sort of, and I thought I'd come from a genuine, sincere place. You know, I'd like to inform you of, you know, whatever wills, et cetera, and what is going on. And they say, always say, oh, thank you. But it's there. They may not be doing anything at that point in time, but it's there. And so, should something happen, or the trigger, that my conversation may think, hang on a sec, oh, yeah, that's right, she's from that committee. I might, there'll be something. That's how a lot of people have found us, like you, and people that have tracked you down. It's for the first time people have got somewhere to go. That initially everyone is thinking was just me, right? But as soon as you get everybody into a public forum, now we're talking worldwide now, we're talking Australia, US, Canada, is it Sweden?
Yes.
Right. So we're talking worldwide. Right. Now, we're not all, you know, whatever, what do you want to call conspiracy or whatever. We've got the evidence, Marty. This is the difference. We've got the evidence, we've got the victims, okay? We've got the family. We don't need to lie. We don't need to fabricate to you know, tell what has been going on, the truth, what has been going on, is that the governments are racketeering through these institutions.
Yes.
You know, in Australia, it's the fraud court, the tribunals, as you say, that are given these powers. What they're actually doing is, and how I explain it to everybody, the same as in what's happening in America, they're different players, the tribunals are feeding the state trustees who become the administrators.
Right.
How can you not call that corrupt? So you're coming in, you're saying, coming into this arena, okay, I'm going to accept the lies and the fraud because I don't have to accept any of it, and then I'm going to give you to my mates, the other government institution, I'm going to give your funds to them. Nobody in their right mind, in Australia, it hasn't actually been explained in the way that it's being done, how they're actually defrauding. I call it fraud. They're obtaining an advantage by deception. So it's actually fraud, and they're also obtaining it under false. They're obtaining it under false pretenses. We've got sufficient evidence to support this. You know, we could probably fill football stadiums with the amount of people that will come out. And now, you know, in one state, I'm not sure if you've been aware that they're actually murdering their citizens, despite family. The horrific story in South Australia, where that government believes in allowing the tribunals the right to sign the death warrants of our vulnerable people.
Mia, I mean, Mia, they're doing that here in hospice. They're putting elderly people into hospice that are not terminal, and many we have found have never been at a terminal illness. But they say they do, so they shove them in hospice. They start drugging them immediately and withholding. They have redefined food and water not as a human right and a necessity, but as medical treatment. So they put him in under this supposed terminal illness, and they called for futility of care. And that means you're not going to get any more medical treatment because we just don't think your life is worth saving. And the first thing they do, hold food and water. Within 3 days, the person has begun to dehydrate, and they become, under normal circumstances, they might start hallucinating, become ill. But they're drugging them at the same time with these psychotropic drugs, which are very damaging even in a healthy young person. Very damaging. They damage the frontal cortex of the brain. That's irreversible. They don't know. They've admitted they have no idea what all these medications do when they actually get into the body and enter the brain. So they are killing people, as near as we can tell, at the rate of about 200,000 a year across the country, and probably more than that. And but they've decided, we've got hospitals. We got in Virginia, they're trying to pass a bill that when you go into the hospital, you lose all rights to make any medical decisions. I thought, what? See, we've got hospitals medically kidnapping people, adults and children, and doing whatever they want to them. We've got two hospitals now that are talking about euthanizing sick children because it's costing the economy too much money to spend it on these kids. They're sick anyway. This in Canada, Sick Children's Hospital decided last year they were going to start euthanizing sick kids. If people don't get a clue as to what is actually happening here, we are being thinned out. We're being culled. And they're taking the children and the elderly first. Go ahead.
And Marty, I don't believe a lot of them are believing it because it's not out. As I said, I follow what sort of happens in America as well. And it's only a certain amount of people. I've started to see a little bit of Child Protective, but I don't see anything apart from like your show and a few others that are actually talking about this nonstop. And that's why that they're able to get away with it. As you said, they're giving some of these hospitals and questionable ones at that, very dangerous, the rights to do all these things. And so we can't have that. We, as a society, we need to regain our rights. We need to regain what should be our natural family rights. And that you cannot, nobody can be removed. As I said, some of the horrific child abuse cases as well, where, even a doctor, I think, had theirs. And as we saw with Lisa, I mean, here we've got a lawyer. It's actually, it's happened within a lawyer. Now, this is what I'm saying. Nobody is off limits here, except, I presume, if you're government and you're related to government, then I'm sure you'll get a free pass. But the rest of us are not. And there's no way I will accept, I can walk away from seeing what I've seen and the continued stories without a fight. There is no way on this earth that I will stop speaking about this. And as I said, we in Australia have sort of started to gain ground and be a voice for some of the people to get it out. But there's obviously the next, which we won't discuss here, but there are next plans and strategies to make the difference. And I think, as I said, worldwide, we can definitely make a difference. Because people, once they know that we're here, once they know we're not alone, because a lot of these people, when they're targeted, they don't realise that there's probably thousands, and this has been going on for how long, they don't realise. They think that they're alone. So we've got to first let them know we're here. You're not crazy. Yes, you are being abused, exploited. Yes, this is evil. Yes, it's sinister. And don't let anybody tell you different. We are not sick. We are not crazy. We're not stupid. We know exactly what's going on. We're going to articulate it, and we're going to simplify it for the people that are not fully aware. And that's what we need to do. Make it simple, because you will.
Yes.
And then we show them, well, how is your will not safe? Well, okay, this is what's happened here. This is what happened to this person. And so the stories are the confirmation, right? All our stories collectively are the confirmation how this is happening, why it's happening, how they're able to do it. So when you're trying to explain it, you're saying, well, this is it. It'll make sense to people. It doesn't think, oh, shivers, you're crazy and you just, you know.
This is what's happening. They are feeding the estate. You're going here, and then the next thing you know, the estate, the trustees have got your money and your house, and you've got a capable daughter, son, whomever, husband, that can take care of those things, and who's been doing so for years, and yet all of a sudden, because of no reason or a false allegation, it's a fraud.
Right.
It's
that
the
doesn't
biggest
have to be proven. That's really kills me. They can stand up, these potential predators can stand up in that tribunal and levy all kind of charges against the family and the community members that try to defend that person, and they never are asked for, nor do they ever produce any evidence to substantiate what they are saying. And
correct.
If I did that to you, I'd get it for defamation. If I stood up and publicly and levied all kinds of false charges against you, you could take me to court and sue me for damages. But these people can do it. And this is what's really starting to bother a lot of people, that out here in the public, just us commoners, if we did any one of the things that these administrators or guardians, conservators, whatever you want to call them, do on a daily basis to the elderly people, or anyone for that matter, we would be charged, we would be imprisoned, and that's all there is to it. But they can do it every day of the damn week and get away with it. And it's, well, you know, they were doing their job. What job was it exactly? What exactly is their job? Because all I see is dead bodies piling up and stolen estates. So what exactly,
exactly.
is it that they are charged with doing?
Like all frauds, they're good at spin. Okay, so they've managed to spin and get away. They deflect. I mean, you have a look. Does anyone ever really answer? You can direct a question, even to politicians. You question. They either block you, they deflect, they dismiss. Okay, because half of in Australia, many of them are lawyers, so they're used to. The way to deal with people, okay, as you said, us commoners. They're used to deflect, deny, and dismiss, okay? That's how they get away with it. So it's up to us to say, well, see, I don't even sort of believe in wasting my time with half of the politicians. I believe going straight to the public. That's where I believe.
Yeah.
And bringing them along and say, oh, hang on, we've attempted to do this through, you know, whichever party. They've turned a blind eye. They're turning a blind eye to the abuses of the citizens within its own country. Why? Why are you doing that? Well, we know why the tribunals are doing it, because they can't see. Because the truth is, if you went, the tribunal wouldn't have business. If everybody that went in, because most of the cases are rubbish. That's the only reason is that the clients, is because they're being fed, and they're being fed through fraud, through deception. Okay, and so, this is not true. You've abused here. Okay, this is good. So that's the continual process, day in, day out, as you said. There are vulnerable going into this system who are being handed to them. So they have made like this this line, progressive line, that is feeding, continually feeding, okay? Then with that comes the feeding of the propaganda. Oh, we've got so many cases of elder abuse within the thing. We need more this and that. We need to bring, as you said, more legislation. We've got, you know, because it's based on false information. It's based on fraud. They are using, as I said, false statistics. They're using no statistics. In Australia has managed to push the propaganda, right, and change the World Health Order definition that elder abuse is primarily family abuse, okay? That's how good they are in Australia.
They've done the same thing here. They have done the exact same thing here. It's always that they'll see it all over what we call mainstream media, these talking heads that are handed a script to read. They'll run a story to death about how a family member or a community member did an elderly person out of their money, and they were leaving them in squalor and covered in feces and urine, and they will, you know, this story just gets wilder and wilder, and they will blow this all over the media. They got stuff on the net. They got stuff in newspapers. They're talking about it on TV. We have gone to them repeatedly with documented cases of professional guardian abuse. It is maybe two, three times a year, you'll see one of them picked off. You'll see one of them that the committing of crimes against humanity is so egregious that they have no choice but to report it. And then it's very minimal. It'll get, 30 seconds and we're gone. But this is the whole thing. You are absolutely right. They have conned the public into thinking when this happens, it is a family member or somebody from the community who did it.
Yep.
Those are the only ones who did it. No. 95% of the time, it's these professional predators.
That's why we have to dispel this myth that this is the case and bring the true statistics into a public forum. And the victims want to come into a public forum. Let's see, because what you're promoting, sure, you may have had a rotten family member, but what about the rest of the family that's fighting for you? What about them?
Yes.
Right, but it wouldn't work. You see, it wouldn't work. The guardianship system wouldn't work if they took facts, truth and honesty, because they wouldn't have clients.
Right.
They'd probably be lucky to get one, a month or every 3 months, because it wouldn't exist. This has been able to, because of manufacturing of falsehoods, like many of the other things that have been claimed around the world. Okay, that's how they have managed to perpetuate this fraud on the public.
Yes.
And then they, as you said, they manipulate, they fabricate. I mean, they're good at that. They deserve a gold logie for their fabrication, for their lie, for their fraud. That's what they're perfect at, not at protecting and looking after under the guise of protections of adults. That they'll get, like I said, that they all have abused for decades these people, and we cannot allow this to continue without a fight. As I said, we keep talking, we keep telling the stories of how they're doing it, the fabrications, and more importantly, they don't have facts. So Australia has managed to, as I said, push this elder abuse scam, because what they'll do then, what they're trying to do now, is they're trying to open up an enduring power of attorney register so government has a record of your power of attorneys. Can you believe it? That's how sinister they are here. They try and stick their finger in every pie so they can manipulate. Now, that's not their business to have our enduring power of attorney. You're the last people that can be trusted with anything, and especially once the public is fully aware of what you're actually doing. Euthanasia. We've got people here jumping. Now, I understand. I believe in persons' rights, and I understand the suffering of people, and if it's truly their choice that they want to leave this world earlier, I can understand. But what we've got, we've given it to a fraud court. We've given this jurisdiction to a fraud court to oversee euthanasia. Can you believe it? Not even in a proper court where there was a dispute. You've got it there too.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
We had a here in Minnesota about, I don't know, it's been about 6 years ago now. There was a predator running up here, I'm sure he still is, named Joe Vogel. He had a proclivity for people who had brain injury, and he would have them installed in the hospital and, of course, drugged to the max and basically put into a coma-like state. And then when Medicare, Medicaid, and the person's insurance ran out, or the settlement they got from maybe a car accident that caused the head injury ran out, and he started getting notices that they weren't going to pay anymore. And see, the hospital is making a fortune. He's making a fortune because, of course, he's taking everything that's coming in. They get Social Security. He's made himself the assigned payee on their Social Security. And since they're laying in the hospital, they really don't need any spending money. And so, but what he did was he had this one young man that had been injured like this, and the insurance was running out. They weren't going to pay anymore. And Medicare and Medicaid were signaling if they weren't going to stop altogether, they were going to stop paying so much, which meant he wasn't going to get anything. So he goes to the probate tribunal and says, I want to put a DNR on this guy. He was going to try to do it without doing this, and the hospital said no. And so he goes in the probate tribunal, hearing examiner said, that's too much power for one person to have, and you can't do that. So he sued the state, and they upheld the probate tribunal and said they're absolutely right. So he sued again and took it to the Supreme Court of Minnesota, who wrote an opinion, and then what they said was, since the guardian had been given medical power of attorney, you could interpret that to mean they had the right to call for a DNR, a do not resuscitate, because, you know, that was part of it. But I wrote an article about it, and I said apparently the royal justices didn't read the statute or thought nobody else would, because you move about three statutes down, it says specifically that in the event that a DNR is likely, the guardian, the family, the physicians have to appear in front of that probate examiner and come to an agreed upon conclusion before they could do anything. But they said, yeah, he could. So, of course, he pulled the plug on this kid. I put that article out, Mia, and said, you know, called him on it and said there was no interpretation of that statute that would allow this, because you have this one statute further down that says that in these instances, this is what you must do. I had two of the Supreme Court justices write me and tell me to retract that statement or there would be penalties. So I wrote them back and said, when you can show me where I'm wrong, I will be glad to print a retraction and an apology. Until then, the article stays up. They were demanding it be taken down. I never heard another word from them. And
because you called them.
This is,
you called them out.
Yes. Yes.
And
they do this all the time.
Yes.
They do this stuff all the time. And what's angering them, Mia, is that now with the internet, what used to be unavailable to the public, basically off limits but grossly unavailable, was the law and what they were doing. And now everything is on there. And they thought nobody would ever look at it. They're not interested in that. They're more interested in being on Facebook and posting where they're going to be today and what they're going to have for lunch. And instead, legislation of the government and state are the most highly trafficked sites on the net here. They're upset about this. Why are people doing this? And it's because we cannot trust the people that are in our government. You damn sure can't trust these attorneys or bar associations, and we want rid of them. They've monopolized our courts right up through our Supreme Court. They have created a monopoly.
Also the political. Do you have many that become politicians as well?
Yep.
You have a few that become politicians as well. It's the same. They monopolize.
There's, what is it, 400 and some of them are lawyers. I wonder how that's going to turn.
They need more accountants and people, numbers people, to show them how to spend money, how to, you know, and that's why I believe a lot of the institutions are failing, because they've drafted so much rubbish after rubbish, instead of a basic principle. As I said, within the guardianship, a lot of these could have been alleviated, because you wouldn't have any problems if you just you can come to the conclusion. Many of these are not difficult if there was a conflict. You know, it's quite easy to find out who's the abuser, who's not the abuser, who's doing the right thing. Very simple. But they choose to convolute it with this process and basically a fake process to say that we are giving everybody a natural and fair, you know, justice system. There's to be the biggest hogwash. And this is what has got to be pushed. We are being conned, we are being defrauded, our vulnerable are being abused and exploited, our children are, and we are going to come together, whether it's young, old, all of the people. You know, we're not here to slander anybody because we've got nothing better to do, because, you know, we're here out of a genuine and sincere care for our fellow citizens and what we've seen within a system that is so disgusting, so despicable, that it belongs back in Nazi Germany. That's where it belongs. All they have done here, Marty, is they've repackaged, okay? They've repackaged abuses in a different way. They've said, we, the government, have legislated this, so it must be good, okay? And we're supposed to accept it. I don't think so, okay? So And I think that's the message that we've got to get out. We show it with the victims. We've got the evidence, okay? We've got it all here. And we've got to call out media that is not coming to the party on this, okay? We've got to call out others that have tried to, you know, as you said, silence, try to manufacture, like, this is just something minimal, that this is not really an issue here. We don't have any major dramas. No, you've just got corruption, collusion, exploitation. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? We're just, I don't vote for that, okay? That's not what I voted for. I didn't vote for you to kill vulnerable people. I didn't vote for you to abuse and put in legislation that shafts your citizens, you know?
Right.
So I will be pushing back. Now that I know more, you know, and you share that, you know, as I said, we don't know because we think, none of us, let's face it, these are not topics that, you know, everyone's going to, wants to hear and listen. They're not the holidays and where'd you spend this and where'd you spend your vacation time. They're not nice topics, but they're important topics. They're very important because at any moment in anyone's life, how this can and will impact. I mean, some of the people, as I said, that we've had, you know, approach us and the stories, you know, these are middle-aged, you know, women in their 30s that have been impacted by this. So this is anyone, anywhere, at any time, something horrible could happen, whether it's an illness for a loved one. And bank, you will never, you know, the trauma that people, the broken people, casualties from the guardianship and the CPS system is a disgrace. And all these people need to come together, past, present, and, you know, any future. We're here and we need to all come together to non-stop. This is a non-stop effort, really, is the only way. It's nothing's easy, is it? You know, people that fought for our freedoms, and where we are today, they, you know, fought for us. We can't just give up. I'm not prepared to give up from what I've seen. I can't walk away from what I've seen and what I know. So, and I'm sure there's many of us out there that feel the same way, that are broken, but we're channeling it into a positive thing to force change. This is not about, you know, negotiations. We're not negotiating with evil, okay? We're not. There's no, you know, negotiating. This is it. It's clear. It's black and white. There's nothing to, you know, it is what it is. This is abuse, corruption by government's institutions and their legislation against its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to act in our best interest, not their own. But what we're actually seeing, they protect themselves. I'm sure it's the same for you. So,
I wanted to ask you, Judicial Watch, do you find that they're helpful? Because Australia doesn't have anything like that here.
They're quite forceful. There's a lot of what they do I totally agree with. Some I'm a little ambivalent about, but across the board, I think they're a pretty straight-up organization, and they try hard to put out really relevant, documentable information, and they are quite active. I would recommend them, you know.
I know. That's why I've asked you. What your opinion was on them, because I did find them to be, because they're actually there to actually show what governments and transparency and accountability, what's going on, and all that freedom. See, Australia doesn't have anybody, as far as I'm aware, because they are, I think, independent. They're not government, obviously, funded, so they're not there to, you know, hoodwink the public. They're there to, as you said, freedom of information, then put it out to the public. This is what we found. This is what's going on.
Yes.
And that's what we need as well in Australia. But I'm not sure how well that will go down.
Mia, the thing is, they're shutting down many of these sites like that. If they don't pull the page down, in reality, they throttle them, and they take them off of Facebook. Facebook here, what was it, a year and a half ago, overnight took down 800 pages. One of them was police. The police that had over 4 million members took it offline. Twitter, 600 within 2 days of that, shut down 600 Twitter accounts because it wasn't what the government wanted out there.
That's right.
And so censoring is going
on.
Well,
that's dictatorship,
isn't
it? Is that not dictatorship?
Yes.
We're all in that.
And this is against our free speech. and they keep talking about hate speech, hate speech. Well, what might be hate speech to me may just be reality for you. So speak your peace. That's why I'm not afraid of anything anybody else says.
No,
I just am not. I'm not insulted by it. If it doesn't pertain to me, I, you know, so what? But we're down to about 4 minutes here, Mia. And to close this off, do you have any closing statements you'd like to make?
Well, really, just my statement is really the, getting to what we need to get to. We need to make a change. We're only going to do this together. We're only going to do it by outing these corrupt systems, okay? And as I said, we're seeing it in the elderly. We're seeing it in child protection. So really, it's the coming, it's the continual we need to talk. And that's what we're doing, as your show does, and what we're doing here in Australia. Having a place where the victims can come and speak, we can get our stories out, and then moving on, obviously, what the next step is in this to get media, more media attention on this, to keep talking about it.
Because
as I said, just yesterday I came across another two people. So, and then, you know, they're going to tell me about another two people. It's just everywhere. Every day there's just a new story of somebody else. This goes to show to the depth that the depravity, and they're only going to be get more depraved as they need more money, because parasites, evil parasites like this, need more victims. Like all frauds and all predators,
it's
they
never
need more
enough.
Victims. That's right. And
enough.
So we're just going to keep on, Marty. We're going to just, as I said, we're advocating for all people, of young, old. It doesn't matter. We're here. You know, we're standing with all these people. This is not right. What's going on? It's whatever. It's just not right. We need to regain the rights of families, our loved ones. Precious young children, and call out these institutions that are doing wrong. They can no longer be held at a higher regard, and that's for me what I want to put out there, that we need to hold, whether it's police, whether it's the judiciary. If you've done wrong, I don't care where, if you're, you know, no one gets a free pass, okay, no one. They've got to be held to the same standards, and I think that's what we should be expecting. We're not going to get it, as I said, without a fight, and so we just need to take the fight to a bigger forum.
What we all need to remember is all of these agency employees, all of these individuals in government are supposedly public servants. They work for you, and you pay their salaries. That makes you the boss. And as long as you're paying the cost to be the boss, you ought to be able to call the shots. And as a public servant, you take on a certain responsibility to act responsibly and to be accountable for what you do. Working for one of these agencies should not be a free pass on the human rights violations, the theft of estate, the abuse of individuals, whether it's an elderly person or a child. It should not be a free pass on law breaking simply because you work for one of these agencies. Never let these people forget that they are your employee and treat them as such. This thing of kowtowing and bowing down when you go in front of these people and begging and pleading, that's crap. Stand up and get a spine. But anyway, I've got about a minute and a half here. Mia, thank you for coming on. For everybody else, I'm sorry. I know we had... Yes, I know we had some connection problems tonight. Many of you got disconnected, and I'm so sorry. I don't know what that's all about. It seems to be only in Australia. But the shows will be available in archive. You can listen to them 24/7 at your convenience. And I want to remind everybody that these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, taking place in Washington, D.C., July 28th through the 31st this year. If they don't lock us down under a medical martial law with this coronavirus crap, which is basically a common cold. But anyway, thanks everybody who tuned in. And again, I apologize for the audio problems and connection problems. We stayed on air. It was tough, but we stayed here, and we will be back next week with another piece of news from Australia. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Mia, thank you. Mr. D,
thank
you're
you,
out
Marty.
There. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm so sorry. things went down like they did. And we'll talk to you all later. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Thanks, Marty. Bye-bye.
You've got it.